The third vignette comes from the recorded comments of Barack Obama himself. On Sunday, April 6, 2008, at a private fundraising event in San Francisco, Barack Obama was speaking to a small group of wealthy supporters. Obama uttered his offending sentence as he tried to explain to the prospective campaign donors why he was still behind in the Pennsylvania polls. Obama explained that in some of these small towns in Pennsylvania, and like a lot of small towns in the Midwest, the jobs have been gone now for 25 years and nothing's replaced them. He went on to note, "And each successive administration has said somehow these communities are going to regenerate, and they have not." Then came the offending sentence. "And it's not surprising when they get bitter. They cling to guns or religion or antipathy to people who aren't like them or anti-immigration sentiment or anti-trade sentiment as a way to explain their frustrations." A firestorm of criticism immediately broke out, threatening to dislodge Obama from his then-presumptive nominee status and giving an advantage to Hillary Clinton. Behind in the delegate count, Clinton could argue Obama was an elitist, out of touch with middle-class voters, an ironic argument for a former first lady who's recently disclosed income statements showed she and her husband, the former president, had made more than $100 million in income over the past 7 years. In only 35 words, which Obama had reason to expect would never be heard outside that room, he risked blowing a carefully crafted image designed to make him appear a unifier, a politician who had transcended politics, a large soul capable of embracing the poor and the lowly more effectively than had any person on the American political scene since at least Robert F. Kennedy. Instead, Obama appeared elitist. Yes, he had been born of mixed blood and was raised by his grandparents. Nevertheless, he had attended elite schools, Punahou School in Hawaii, Occidental College and Columbia University, and Harvard Law School, where he was elected the president of the Law Review. Suddenly, voters were reminded that Barack Obama was not an African-American descended from a slave, and that he had never lived in an urban ghetto, except by choice, when working as a community organizer in Chicago. In the internet age, no candidate should ever assume what is said or done will remain private or secret for long. Candidates are especially vulnerable in unguarded moments, which can be captured as audio and video and turned into personal vignettes through which an internet user can peer behind the candidate's carefully crafted public persona. Today, an average citizen at a remote campaign event can make world history armed only with a cell phone that can take electronic photographs or a pocket bar recorder that electronically picks up sound. In the age of the internet, how will Obama transcend the issue of race when shared video clips abound showing his longtime pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, wearing a dashiki and railing against the United States of America? Few people are prepared for the level of scrutiny they will undergo running for president.